Inner Talk Podcast. We'll know topic is off limits. Now here's your host, Mind Daddy, and Void a Soul. Thank you for coming to the Inner Podcast. Boom, talk, boom.
In 3, 2, one, boom, shalak, boom, everybody, in the Inner Talk Podcast. I am your host, Ryan Westa.
What up?
What up, what up? Today we got the Mokes crew, two-thirds of the Mokes crew. We got Lou Rip on the left.
Hey,
Rip.
How's it going, party people?
Oh my, I gotta turn your mic down.
Too excited, I'm sorry.
And we got Lucid Flows
Lucid
on my
flows,
right.
Lucid Flows, yeah. Lucid on deck, prep the jet set for takeoff.
There we go.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
You practiced.
Welcome
that.
Back. Sorry, our last episode got screwed up. I think I know what happened.
That was a great. Yeah. That was a great conversation too. I was. There are other shows because what this is like. This is my sixth or seventh time on here, I think. And there were other shows I would have totally traded out to get scrapped. So we did a show with. It was myself and the other third of Mokes, Joker 70, and the audio was corrupted, basically, right?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't supposed to happen because I wasn't here.
Yeah.
I had to be here, bro. That's the thing. That's why everything fucked up.
I got the video. I can even show you the video.
Dude, you played the audio for me. I mean, it was garbled. It was nonsense. Like, you weren't going to get anything out of that.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I hate that.
It would have been clear if I was here.
I hate that. And then, which is so cool, so I just did Boulevardia, and it was...
Yeah, listen to that. You interviewed Flair the Rebel.
Were you able to listen to it? Could you hear it?
The volume was low, but I could hear what you guys were saying. I could listen to it. I couldn't listen to it while I was like mowing the lawn or something, but I was just hanging out, listening to it, and the volume was a little bit low, but I could still hear the whole thing.
Like, I wasn't in charge of audio... I just showed up and started doing shit.
Yeah.
Like,
that was cool, though.
It's cool. But then when they sent me the file, it was super, super low. I put it through my program and pumped the volume up as high as I could. That was as loud as I could get that.
Yeah. So, you know, Flair the Rebel's like, that's like fam.
Yeah. Right there, yeah. It's Sykes Styles.
It's Sykes' brother. Sykes' brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, so he and Matt Peters were anti-crew. You guys talked about this. And dude, they put everybody on tracks because they knew all of us, and there were these young, like, ambitious, hungry kids, and every time they asked us to, like, do tracks, like, people were like, yeah, we'll do it. They got Mac Lethal on tracks, they got Seth on tracks, they got, dude, some of the craziest lineups. We did a track called KC Shuffle, and it was myself, Ubiquitous, Reach, Brother Moses.
Holy crap.
Man, who
can
else?
We find that anywhere?
Yeah, it's all online.
I find that one. That's a heavy.
I have to look see if it's on Spotify, but it's definitely worth checking out. Anti Crew, A-N-T-I-C-R-E-W. Yeah, they did their thing back in the day, and now both of them are still doing their thing. Matt Peters is at Strange Music. He's a engineer and a producer and
singer.
Fucking amazing musician, just all around. He's done a lot of beats for me and done a lot of my engineering. Really good friend. And then Flair is doing his thing with his band, which they're killing it, man. Our homie Kemet, he's part of one of the first black owned brewery in Missouri, and they just had their grand
18th
opening.
And Vine.
Yeah.
Something on the Vine. Brewery on the Vine. What is it called?
Put me on the spot. Vine Street, I think.
How dare you guys?
That
Vine Street Brewing. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. you can edit it later.
I'd like
to
get him. I'm not editing shit.
Dude, that grand opening was bonkers, man. I knew it was going to be a turnout, but it was packed. It was packed. I didn't even bother going inside the brewery because you couldn't, like, the line was so long. It was like one of those, if you order a beer, you're back in line just to, like, you know, grab another beer because you're going to be done by the time you get there. It was packed.
Good.
It was,
that's good.
Yeah, it was a blowout. Awesome. It was phenomenal. It was really, really, really badass kind of event.
Yeah, that was a good time. So yeah, I'm doing Boulevardia with actually,
which is dope. That's awesome, man.
Thanks. Second year in a row, they said they'll have me back next year.
Dope.
I'm gonna have some stipulations next year though.
Yeah.
But so yeah, as I'm interviewing Flair, Lou Ripps walks by the stage, and we, and Flair goes, Lou Ripp? Like, we, at the same time, we were like, yo, Lou Ripp? Like, like, it was cool that, like, wait, you know him? Like, you know him? Like, yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, and I got to tell y'all, y'all made me look really good in that moment, because I was trying to get into this motherfucker. I was telling him I had a performance, but I didn't have, like, anything to, like, prove it.
Oh, yeah.
So they was looking at me like... Yeah, right. Okay. So they got this chick. They went and got this chick, this old lady, and she was like, okay, I'll take you up to the stage you're supposed to go to. And as we're walking, I saw you two, and I put my hands up like, yo, what's up? And y'all said Lou Ripp at the same time, and I was like, yeah. And then I looked at her like, yeah, that's yeah, right. That's yeah. Right. Now what you got to say?
Uh-huh. Ryan's turning the volume down.
Sorry, my bad, dude.
You're good.
Mic volume's never been a problem for this dude, as far as I can tell.
Sorry,
I don't know, man.
Yeah, and it was over the speakers too, you know.
So everybody hears Lou Ripp. Yeah, it projected a little bit. Rich St. Louis and all of that shit, all the rural towns. I like that, man. All
right, there's a trick though. You got to be up on the mic. Don't be yelling up on it. If you got to yell,
I'm not.
Like, hey, what up, motherfucker? I was yelling really loud, and you could barely hear it. Just get away and yell. But then get up on it and talk.
I got a real tricky voice. My voice is like, I don't know when it's really low or if it's really too loud. It's like I never can gauge it. I feel like it changes from day to day. Yeah, it's weird.
I've got to say, while we're still on the Boulevardia section here.
That was a great night,
man.
We kicked it, bro.
I had a lot of fun with you, man.
We kicked it.
Did you guys hang out?
Yeah, dude. Nice. We kicked, bro. It was just like, it was very natural. Like, I was going to get a drink, and he was done with Flair, and he was just like, bro, where you about to go? I was like, man, I'm about to just go back over to the stage. He was like, yeah, I'm about to go with you. And we just caught a vibe, dog. We went over to the little headphone, the headphone concert. You put your headphones and listen to the DJ.
Oh, yeah.
Silent DJ.
The silent DJ.
Yeah.
Bro.
Those look crazy.
Dude, tell me, how good is the silent DJ?
Dude, that was my first time, and it was amazing. You got three different DJs, three different channels to choose from. You can vibe with the dude on the left, the girl on the middle, the dude on the right. It's like crazy. So
are they all on the same like BPM, or are they totally different vibes?
Totally different they vibes. Want. One's on some techno,
so
shit.
Like, there's a girl over here like shuffling, and then somebody else is just doing like some crazy psychedelic.
You
like,
got your dance. You got your girl doing some techno shit. You got your man in the middle doing some hip hop shit. You got your man on the right might be on some house shit. You can just turn to each channel at will and vibe to whichever one you want. And you know what you vibe into because the color changes. So you can look at somebody else and know if they vibe into the same shit you vibe into.
Yeah, their headphones will turn a different color.
Yeah.
You're either on the red DJ, the blue DJ, or the green DJ. And whatever DJ you're listening to corresponds with their color on your headphones.
Yes.
Yeah. So you see different people. It's like, oh, that dude's vibing out the green over there. I can see why he's moving like that.
So that's interesting, because I feel like so much of the appeal of seeing something live is like sharing the experience with other people, which I guess you can identify who you're sharing the experience with.
Yeah.
But then you're with a lot of people who are having
but other you're all switching it back and forth too.
Gotcha. Okay. Right. So you're all just
but
like
you're all surfing. But you're all in it. But it, I like it because you can be you're all having a good time at the same time, having that experience of dancing and moving and listening to music, and it's in your head, just like the headphones we have on right now. It's in your head. You're locked into it.
Yeah.
So you're locked into your own little world.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk to somebody, if imagine being at a rave and the music's going, you're trying to talk to someone, you're yelling and they can barely hear you. This you just both pop like your headphones off. And then you kind of speak to each other, and it's you can.
Oh, yo, that would be nice. I always lose my voice like at shows because you see people, you want to say hi to them. Probably you're seeing someone you haven't seen in a while.
You got no voice left.
Yeah, dude.
You can't say shit.
Uh huh.
Yeah. It's really also what's really kind of trippy about it, if you think about it, is so you see everybody like. You're locked in. You got some house music going. There's like big balloons that people are throwing around, and it's like you're in a real,
house,
you're at a rave. Shit's going off. Yeah. But then all of a sudden you take those off, and all you hear is like, you hear nothing. You hear squeaking of some shoes and some shuffling around, maybe a background conversation over behind you. But it's just like, whoa, where am I right now?
It's so wild. Like when you walking up to it and you see people doing it, it's like you don't hear no music. But you see the DJs up there, obviously they got a vibe of some sort going on. Yeah. So it makes you want to be a part of it, because from the outside looking in, you like, what are they on? Like, what's happening? I can't hear it. I'm not a part of it. I want to be a part of it. Yeah. So, yeah, it was dope to go in there and get that experience. That was crazy.
And, I mean, sonically, you're talking about a much better quality sound, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And live performances is always, like, especially hip-hop shows, is always super bass heavy.
Right.
You miss a lot of the mids kind of get buried.
A lot of vocals,
you know,
get buried.
Yeah, yeah, boy. Yep. Yeah, it's always a struggle. So, like, in that scenario, dude, everything would be perfect. I mean,
it's awesome. One of my new favorite things. I did it last year also, and I remember loving it. And then this time, just like, I need to find, where can I find that? Like, where can we find
it?
I would love to do a hip hop show like that, because then I could hear our sound like crisp. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want to figure out how to get one of the, like, an earpiece or something, at least, so that I can I can hear like the beat. Like the last show we did, there was a leveling issue where one part of the stage, one side of it, like, was super bass heavy. The other side, like, you could hear the vocals really well. You could hear the highs really well, but it was like based on where you were in the venue. And because I'm being critical here, I'm not going to say what venue it is, but based record on bar. Where you were, I didn't say that.
I'm just guessing. It's a record bar.
Based on where you were in the venue, you got a completely different experience. And I had trouble on a few of our beats. Like, you know, they're super, like, bass heavy, or maybe there's not a lot of the highs, or if you can't hear the highs, then you don't get the cadence, like, the same way or whatever.
Right, right.
So that idea, like, having being able to hear the sonic experience that everybody else in the place is having, and like,
that, you know, would be an amazing
performing
way.
That way would be phenomenal.
Yeah, thinking about the, like, talking about this sound,
kind of like
DJ
a tiny desk concert sort of feel in a sense, or something. I
it's
guess
it's making me think like there is something that you can rent that equipment. That company that did that equipment with the headphones and everything, they rent that stuff out. You can go buy whatever, like a U-Haul sized trailer full of their headphones and shit.
We gotta figure out how to make that happen. That
how
would be amazing.
Dope would
especially
that
like
be?
You said, like an intimate setting. You know what I mean? Like, you just got everybody, a row of people sitting there with their headphones just vibing and connecting. That would be dope.
We gotta find somehow.
And the clarity, because you know, because going through the speakers, you also lose clarity in your lyrics. So it's like the clarity you would have through the headphones and people being able to actually articulate what you're saying, because it's hard to do.
Yeah.
Through some big ass speakers.
It'd be interesting to explore the multi-channel aspect of that too. Like, if you had,
well, that's what I'm saying,
like,
you
different
have
people
a big
rapping
stage. You have
a DJ cutting, wow. Like, but have the beat be like the same BPM or something, or like the maybe if you had the same BPM but like you got different producers like playing different like samples or something, and maybe the rapping is the same, but then like you could change the beat or whatever based on like which headphone you
go
to.
I'm thinking three different groups of rappers up
thinking.
There.
Oh yeah.
I got Mokes over here, I got UBI over here, and I got Tech Nine in the middle. Oh, and I'm like figuring out who do I want to listen to right now. This dude looks like he's going off. Oh, Tech's doing one of his like spitter, like his chopper fucking things right now. Let me check that out. Oh, they're over here waving their arms back and forth. Let me get that vibe. Like,
yeah, that would be amazing. That's what I was thinking. Like, if you had all these different acts going on at one time and you could just walk to each one and hear.
Ooh, how nasty would that be?
That would be dope. That would be dope. You already know you could do it with DJs. We got to figure out how to. We could do that with DJs in the city. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, one of those DJs at the Silent Disco we were at, did you notice the guy in the middle had drums?
Yeah, right.
He was playing drums, like one of those electronic drums with his stuff going on. So he's
That's
adding
dope,
some stuff.
Though. Yeah.
So it can. It's got to be able to done. Be able to. Yeah.
I love microphone. The live instrumentation, man. Like the producers that add, like, just have a sampler keypad or like some kind of like keyboard or whatever. Just do like the live looping and shit. Like, ugh, man, that I fucking love it, man. Kind of DJ spin-off vibes and stuff. We should we should talk about that. You know,
maybe I can do another a second primordial.
Dude, that show was fun, man. I mean, it didn't pop off the way I think any of us hoped it would as far as the crowd, but it was a decent. I mean, it wasn't a shameful turnout. Like,
I know
there were.
It was.
I mean, there were like what 50 people there or something.
I don't know. Yeah.
which it's a smallish venue, and you know, it's it was Northland, like it was pretty decent. I think that we all hoped that it would pop off, like you know, be crowded out the doors, but it's not.
Well, I just got over it, and now you're bringing it back. You're opening up that wound. That wound was sewn shut and closed. And
dude,
now
you could only see like 60% of the floor. No, yeah. I thought it was a pretty dope thing, man. And Sean Edwards' interview was super interesting to me. Like, he fucking killed it, man.
Yeah.
That episode, the and I really like the idea of doing the live
I thought it was a live great podcast concept. I thought it was a great concept. Yeah. Two comedians, a podcast, and then two hip-hop acts.
I think it was a great concept, and I encourage you to try it again. And okay. We'd love to be a part of it for sure.
Okay.
Do another poster.
I'll do it every time, bro.
Okay. All right.
It was fun. I don't give a fuck about the turnout or nothing else. It was fun.
To me, I was just, you know, I'm the host. I'm the one put it together. I'm like, it's just kind of embarrassing is all.
It might be finding the right partners. You know what I mean? Like hitting up.
Didn't have any partners. I did, but I didn't. You helped me out tremendously with making the poster.
So, I mean, maybe you collaborate with like Vine Street Brewing or like, you know, a small brewery or something, like a venue that also has like their own, you know, their own audience.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Like, actually, so like a partnership sort of thing, the way that you incorporated into Boulevardia, you know what I mean? It's like, instead of just trying to do it all yourself, like find a team of interests that can all work together.
That's what you need to do for this shit, like this podcast. Like you said, you don't like to do this shit yourself. You need to find a team, especially like these college motherfuckers. They'll do this shit for free. Find a team.
Find them to do what?
College people. They'll do this shit for free.
A team to do what?
To promote for you. Okay. And promote the show for you and pump this shit for you.
I've started paying somebody to do video.
I like that, man.
Videos for me. Have you seen those?
Yeah, they're dope.
I'm putting up one video a day of this whatever week's podcast I have, and they throw a bunch of like quick things in there, like animation and stuff.
It's the trend, but it's just a good way to augment your podcast and to promote, like to take just those little segments and give people a taste of what the conversation's like. I love that because it helps me to know like what I would want to listen to or whatever. Yeah. It kind of just gives you that taste.
Yeah, it's great. I was hoping that it would like, people would see different. I do like 1 minute or under clips, and I'm hoping someone would be like, "Oh, I want to hear more about that and come to it." Yeah. But I'm afraid that I'm just going to be like a clip podcast. Like people only know the podcast in clips.
The podcast. That's right. Bottom line.
Right. You're only increasing your audience because the people the people that only watch the clips, like they're never going to tune into the whole podcast, but you are going to lure in people who, like myself, who are podcast nuts, who are just going to see like bits of that. And over time, like, man, this that seemed like an interesting conversation. That was compelling, whatever, you know. And I've found that it takes numerous times like hitting someone's attention before what I'm speaking actually about myself.
That makes
like
sense.
I need to see something, unfortunately, like multiple times before it finally breaks through. Yeah, because it's like you have such like a filter, like the feed, right? Because there's just so much to sift through. You kind of just like,
well, everything is literally vibing for your attention. Everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you do see something numerous times, especially if it's something that strikes your attention in some way, shape, or form, you'll be compelled to, you know, take it out. But
now you're right.
We live in an era where shorts are encouraged. People want to see shorts. That's why we don't, as far as albums go, you don't see the 15, 20 tracks anymore. You see the EPs. You see 2, 3, 4 songs, and they getting the fuck out of there.
I've seen, there's a local dude, I'm not going to drop his name because I like him and he's talented, but he has like one of his last albums, you know, it's got a lot of plays, it's got a lot of traction, but it's five or six songs, and they're like a minute long, minute and a half long type. It's like
that's what people want. Like,
it's crazy.
But people want like YouTube short clips. They want these little 30-second clips. They don't want this whole 5 minute, 10 minute segment.
It's not the '90s anymore.
No, they want to be able to move from this to the next, to the next, to the next. They just want a piece.
Yeah.
And you gotta adapt to that. And don't sleep on that when it comes to your podcast. You might want to think of ways to just do short little clips.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah. It's working. No, yeah. It is working. That's cool. It's just an adjustment for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's different.
Because like, that's like, I want, I guess ingest it however you want. But, you know.
It's just different, like you said.
I'd view it like music streaming. Like, as an artist, you, like, just becoming a Spotify artist, I don't think is the aspiration for anyone. But it's like, you have to put it in that, you know, it's a pool where people are, you know, fish are searching. They're trying to find that thing, and you got to be there so you can lure them and hopefully pull them off that platform to somewhere else. But I mean, this is the part of the hustle that I've been trying to crack, and it.
Yeah, you guys have been at this hustle a lot longer than me. The content, you know, just.
Whatever. Content like, creation, but
I mean, just rapping the music, like just trying to get. Yeah. Get your voices heard by ears.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get people to listen to me.
The game's just changed so much since, well, I mean, when we started, it was pressing CDs, of course. And like when we started, it wasn't even like digital recording. You're recording on like a 4-track or an 8-track. Like you're recording onto fucking tapes. You know what I mean? and so when I started, the mystery of like how to create a track and get it to CD production, like it was a puzzle that you had to figure out, and luckily knew people that had already figured it out and just team up with those people. And now you can fucking record songs on your phone or just whatever, you know, it's a totally different game. So the focus has shifted so much.
Yeah. I just had this dude. Have you guys heard of DMAD?
No,
no.
He's a local kid. He's got a song that has over 100 million views.
Mm hmm.
He recorded it in his car.
I totally believe it. Yeah.
Of course. What when we was talking about before he got here, if I had access to this shit when I was a kid, I would be a gazillionaire right now.
Yeah.
The thing is that with my career, I would have thrived in the digital era. I didn't survive our era because I didn't have the resources that were necessary to survive. I didn't have the money to be able to go print up fucking CDs and get all these CD sleeves and artwork. That shit costs money. It wasn't free like now where you can go just download an app and get this shit for nothing. That shit costs money. I did not survive that era. That's why nobody knows me. But if the shit was reversed and I had that shit when back then... Dude, you wouldn't even know who Jay-Z was. You'd know Lil fucking Rip. That's the only name you know.
The dudes that made it were making money selling drugs usually or making money somehow.
And like they everybody, had the like money
all the big, like, you
to
know?
Print up CD sleeves and print up CDs and have them shipped out here and have all that shit done. They had the money for that.
Yeah, that was the formula. Yeah.
I couldn't do that. I can barely keep the lights on. I can't be paying for CD sleeves. Like, hell no. CD sleeves or ramen noodles for a month? Fuck that. I did not survive that era, bro.
But then there is that argument, or maybe not the argument, but just playing devil advocate here. Bet on yourself. Take a loan out.
No.
Dude, taking a loan out on yourself.
Take a loan out on yourself. I'm going to take a loan out for $1,500. And get 600 CDs printed or whatever the price breaks down
or
to.
Or I could take a loan out and pay more of these bills down or put more food on the table.
But I'm just playing devil's advocate where the guy says, yo, fuck that. Who cares? Believe in yourself. Trust in yourself. Put them out there and sell it. Hustle your ass off and sell it.
That's the story of so many cats. Logic, who's one of my favorite MCs, like he talks about how he had a year where like his homie
he works
just
hard
like,
every fucking day.
He busts his ass.
Every day.
But
yeah.
He didn't have a job and he talked to one of his homies whose couch he was crashing on. He was like, dude, give me a year. Just... like, let me float for a year and I'm going to make this happen. And he fucking did it, you know, but it was having that. It was having like
a couch.
Dude.
Here's the thing though.
Not having the distractions, you know what I mean? And being able to like, obviously there's the work ethic, but like that work ethic when it's impeded by the distractions of, like, you know, for me, it's like having kids. It's like trying to support a family, having a career, and, like, mm-hmm. you know, my own, working for myself, like, all the facets of that keep me from, like, pushing harder in the music. And a totally different thing. But I was at a point way earlier in my life where, like, you know, sharing an apartment with, like, five other people, and it's like $425 a month. So, like, we're all just paying like $100 a month, even, like, with utilities and shit. And that wasn't a window that, like,
you were really doing that shit.
I mean, when I was in college, yeah, that was that was a cess nest, man. That was a that was a crazy living situation, which was not tenable for a long period of time. But for a period of time, it allowed, like, a lot of exploration and allowed a lot of just, like, being able to prioritize things that didn't really make sense. But, you know,
you got to really go for it when you're young.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to bet on yourself.
Like you do. Like, don't you think, like, if you could do it all over again when you're like 18, 19, 20, just like, fuck a real job. Like, I'm doing whatever. Like, I will. I'll couch surf. Just chase that fucking dream.
But I don't think it's ever too late, but it definitely is easier if you can catch that.
Too late for the three of us, man.
I don't. We got kids.
I mean, just to kind of.
To be honest, I like the path that I'm on. I don't. I'm not chasing music at all. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm saying if you want to chase that.
Yeah, I mean, even if I wanted to do it now. And I wouldn't be afraid to do it. I go for it. But at the same time, it's kind of like I like doing it at my leisure. I don't want to depend. I've never wanted to depend on music for my lifestyle because that's scary. Like, if you make a hot project, now you're under pressure to make another hot project or a hotter project to keep that shit going. It's like that's a lot of pressure. I've always been a person who I got to look at the future. I got to look ahead. I can't look at. You can throw something in my face right now. It could look great, but I got to think, what is this going to mean for me tomorrow?
Very practical.
I always think that. I have to.
I know. I'm the same way. And I'm crazy. I do have a crazy streak side of me, but there I am always very practical. I'm the same way, and I don't know. Sometimes I grapple with them. Like, I wish I could be a little bit more unhinged.
Do you remember the talk we had at Boulevardia about daughters?
But I
brought out I showed you the practical side of that.
Yeah.
It's not personal.
You're right.
It's
you're
practical.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That's why it resonated so well with me, because my brain thinks the same way. But I wish I had more of that crazy artist brain where it's like, fuck it, I'm throwing at everything, I don't need anything, I'll sleep on someone's couch.
Artists be pretending though, they ain't really saying fuck it like that
until they make it, and then they're like, yeah, this is what I sacrificed for. I said fuck it for a little bit, knowing it wasn't fuck it forever, but fuck it for a little bit. If I have to sleep on a couch or someone else's couch for a while.
It's a time and place. Like you said, you got to catch that when you're young.
That window.
Yeah that's what I'm saying. Like, if you can turn it back and just. Like,
but I don't think that if you don't catch it, then it's gone. Like, the one of the founding premises. Oh,
wisdom is wasted on the
one
old.
One of the founding premises of Mox is that Lou and I both agreed we are going to be rapping regardless. Like, whether or not we try and do something with it. So, like, let's try and do something with it. Yep. You know, let's try and put it in a format and with intention behind it that just shows our best, and showing our best is just like having the most fun. Like, that's one of the other principles, is that the music that we make, we're not trying to do anything with it except for just make the music we want to make. But I believe that, like, so many outcomes are possible from that. One is that we just do what we were going to do anyways. We make the music and we enjoy it, and some people enjoy it too. And that number, you know, in whatever spectrum of just this is like a really passionate hobby. But I also think that we could, you just never know where someone will catch stride or whatever, you know. Like, I think that there's so much talent and so much opportunity in Kansas City to, like, collaborate and work with people, that there's a recipe. There's like a formula that can blow up. That is within our grasp. It's just whether it happens, man.
When it comes to collaborating with artists in Kansas City, do you find it difficult or easy to with certain people? Like, there's some people that charge money. Do you think people should charge money for other local artists to be features when no one's really that big here outside of strange music artist, really.
I think.
Until, I mean, I guess there's a
until,
few. I mean,
until you're talking
kind
real,
of, but like
until you're talking real money. My personal sentiment is like just try and build. You know, work with people that'll build, and that's typically what I do with the music. I just try and bring my A game to whatever I'm doing and treat it like seriously. And I try not to half-ass it. So, like, if you're going to put me on at a show, I don't show up and just act stupid. Like, I've done that in the past. I've shown up to shows and I've been, like, too drunk or whatever or something. You know, like, back in the day, that's a long time ago. It's like.
Really?
What were you like back in the day, Lucid? Oh, dude, I did all kinds. I was crazy, stupid. I was smart. I was dumb. I was fucking, you know, passive. I was aggressive. I was all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to pick a year. Yeah.
When you were living in that house with four other people.
I was probably the most sane in that house.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
What was that house like? Was that like a rapper's house?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a rapper's house.
What the hell is a typical day like in that house?
Video games. We were playing a lot of Roll Cage, a lot of Tekken, a lot of... like GoldenEye, a lot of fucking
64 and 64.
Yeah, I mean we're talking like early 2000s, like 99, oh, yeah. 2000, 2001, like
James like Bond
those shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it was a lot of weed, it was a lot of video games and a lot of beats. I mean just beats on all the fucking time. Yeah. And a lot of recording, a lot of people acting crazy, a lot of moodiness, you know what I mean? Just yeah, there's some really stupid drama, but you know, it was formative or whatever. Yeah, man, I don't know, you know, shit got stolen, fights were had, girls were shared. I'm not saying I participated in that, I'm just saying
like, right, it was a big house,
typical it was, fresh shit.
Yeah, dude, it was you know, we're all just young and stupid, just
good everyone. Times are you did you look back at that time fondly? Sounds like a fun, good time.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to relive it.
No,
you know what I mean. But I'm glad it happened. There were a lot of great things that came out of that. You know, it was a Cess Nest. I was living with Cess Crew. It was originally my apartment, but I invited Yubi to come live with me. He was in Colorado, and I was like, dude, you got to come check out the scene here because we had been trying to, you know, rap and shit in Colorado, and I came here for art school, and I met a bunch of fucking hip hop heads, a lot of fucking rappers and producers and engineers and people who, I mean, just doing it, right? And so I brought him out, and my roommate at the time, Ben Ignite, what up? He you know, he went home or whatever from the Art Institute, and so I had an extra room. Yubi moved in with me, then like, you know, he got inducted into Cess Crew, and then Godamus moved in, and then Sorceress from Cess Crew moved in, and her girl, and it was like, and then Gotti's girl was
this the origin of
there.
Cess Crew?
How did Cess Crew get started? Cess Crew pre-Ubiquitous already existed before this, but for some years. And Cuddy Slitz was in it, went by General Ali at the time. And there were Persef One was in it, and she didn't live at the Cess Nest. She has skated, I think, to Texas by this point. Well, yeah.
So how many people all in all have been in Cess Crew?
Sev. Maybe like seven or something.
Seven.
And like, I'm not.
But then it boiled down to just two, right? And then nothing.
Yeah, eventually. I don't know what the official status is. I haven't heard anything for a minute, you know, from them or whatever. But
we know what the official status is. They're done.
I don't know, man. You know, the world's an open book, open-ended book. It's a story to be written. Who knows what.
That's very kind of you. I'm sure it's very close to you, but I mean, when's the last? I don't know. When's the last kind of Cess Crew you've seen? It's
I don't know.
Been a long time.
But Yubi from Cess Crew, we're doing a show with him,
which sucks because I love those 4th. Two together. I loved Gotti and UBI together.
I love those dudes.
Dude, these are awesome.
Yubi's like my day one. Gotti is a really close friend. I love that dude, but Yubi's like the day one, and we're doing a show with him at the Record Bar on August 4th. With Steady P,
Oh, that's just who I saw Lou Rip perform with, Steady P at Boulevardia.
Yeah,
that's
man.
That's another part of our show, our story there. After we started, got our little silent dance on, we went over and I tore the mic down with Steady P.
Lou Rip.
Oh, hell yeah.
I swear to God, you're one of my favorite rappers. Like, I love the way you perform. Like,
I second that.
I gotta say, I got some beef with you. To be real with you,
what are you talking about? You don't want beef with me, dude.
Yeah, this dude's trying to battle.
You don't have enough music out there.
I know, man.
Well, Average Joe. How many times can I listen to Average Joe? Like
a million Joe. Average.
Come, whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Give me some more. Like, why is there not more Lou Rip out there to stream?
I just need a recording setup at the crib. If I had a solid recording setup, I'd put music out probably a song a day for real. Because I write all the time. All the time.
Dude, this dude sends ridiculous amounts of verses.
Do you have like, I'm not going to get too personal with you, but do you have some money that you could spend on a studio? Like if it's kind of a.
Yeah.
It's more like a technical issue. Like you got the equipment and stuff.
What
right?
if you I just... told you I knew one of the. A really good producer, engineer with a studio, home studio that could like do that shit.
Yeah, if I could get that and I have the space for it. Like if I could set it up, I'd do it.
No, you just go to his house. You go to his place and do it.
I don't want to go to nobody's house. I just want to set up at my crib. Like,
well, then we can't get more of you out there. We need more of you out there.
You would get more of me out there if I could record at my crib.
Hey, on that point, I was chatting with Vertigon of the Guild and DeLazers. I was chatting with him earlier today. He extended an invitation anytime we want to come record. He's down.
Why do you got to be at your house to do it? Why can't you go somewhere else and do it?
It's easier, man. If you got, I know if it you is. Got the Trust mic me. There.
Trust me.
It's
I get
just
that,
easier, dude.
But you don't have it there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if I got to go somewhere else right now, I'm down with doing that. I'll do that right now. I got shit that's ready to go. Like, I'm ready to
we put want down it. A I mean, shit. I'm, you know, selfish. I want it out there. Because I want every single time I've seen you perform live, I'm just like, damn, how is this dude not bigger? Like you got hella
dude,
stage
dude,
presence
we
out
have,
there.
We seriously have like over 20 unrecorded tracks.
That's great. No one's listening.
Just
to
written.
Them.
Yeah. Yo, dude.
Tell me you have 100 of them, Lucid.
Hey,
I don't care. I don't care how many you got
dude,
that are
do you know
unreleased.
How much, do you know how much self-imposed guilt and self-loathing is stirring in my belly right now just because we're not getting out the music that I want to get out? But it's you know, it's a
Vert,
life thing.
Tell
man.
Vert I'm coming. I got shit ready to fucking roll like right now. I'm coming, Vert.
Dude, I probably got 30 verses in the chamber, like ready to go. I memorize every verse that I write. I write in my head on some slow Jay-Z shit. Like I do it over time. I can't do like the write a verse like in the moment or whatever, but I just do it when I'm like driving and stuff. So by the time the verse is done, it's memorized. You know what I mean?
Do it
so
on your phone. Like I said, this dude D-Mad just made a song with over 100 million views.
Here's
on
the trick.
In his car on his iPhone.
Tell me how to figure this one out because you got to hear the beat to rap to it, but you can't have the beat in the vocals that you mix because otherwise that pretty much works, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I'm sure if you take it to a good engineer, they can isolate each noise. They can isolate the voice from the beat.
You're probably right.
And then they
yeah.
take that out and then they throw in the clean version underneath it and they clean up your voice a little bit. Like it's fucking magic out there. Yep. Like quote No Scope, this ain't the 90s anymore. You'd be making $1 million, billions of dollars right now if you had that technology. So
you got a lighter?
So take advantage of the technology that's out there.
Puff Daddy.
Just try it. I'm hearing a lot of excuses.
No, you're right, man.
I'm only doing it because it's out of love.
So
it's out of love.
No, and I'm the type of dude, I will take a smack in the face. I don't mind being smacked in the face. I smack people in the face all day long. All right, and
good.
I don't mind receiving it back. So
yeah.
I take that. That's real. And I'm going to put more shit up.
But part of it is.
Do it, please.
It's legit logistics. Like, if you're going to do it right, then, like, if you're going to do it, you want to do it right. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So.
There's a way to do it right, for sure.
Which, that could be seen as an excuse, but it could also be seen as, like, just a rationale for why stuff is, like, taking a frustrating amount of time. But I don't know, man. I mean, I get really fatigued because the way I want to do it, I want to do it right, you know?
Well, so, you're so like the most anal and, artist out there. Yeah, so you are like, I have to make sure like everything's...
I know. It's a disease. Yeah. It's a disease. But it's also made me really good at what I do. So right. I don't know. Like, I can't fucking parse it, man. But there is a line. Like, there is a point where it's like, dude,
if you put it out, at least you just technique. Do it. The technique.
Everybody's got their own flavor, man. Their own way they do thing. You know, Dr. Dre's a perfectionist. He won't put nothing out until every single bell and cymbal is perfect. And that's just how some people are. I'm not like that personally.
I get it.
Because I care about the bars, and however we can get the bars out there, I don't want to use my hands as an ashtray. Do you have an ashtray?
The floor.
The floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. It goes
against it. Check out my latest story on Instagram at NeanderTalkPod. I just did a story before this episode of...
Did you sweep your floor and make a reel?
Yeah, I did. I sweep my floor. Kind of. I was like, whenever people come in my studio to smoke, whatever, I always tell them...
Sweep your floor and roll a joint
ash,
from it.
Ash on the floor. Because it makes me have to sweep. I have to keep this place clean. Because if you're ashing all over it, I can't let ashes pile up in here when I got guests coming in and out.
Yeah,
I got to keep this place looking good and clean. So if you're ashing on it, I got to get that shit out of here.
No, I should get on your sneakers, man.
Yeah, I'm a procrastinator. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't have a reason, if I don't have something pushing me to do something, I won't do it.
You could just put an ashtray on the table, and then you wouldn't have to worry about it.
But then I wouldn't sweep as much.
So let me ask you this.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Let me ask you this from a fellow procrastinator.
Oh, my God. I mean, I guarantee I'm the worst procrastinator in history.
Has procrastination inadvertently made you a harder worker?
I mean, that's the argument. That's why we do it. Because we can get it done. We wouldn't procrastinate it if we couldn't actually get it done. So I wouldn't say harder worker. Just a different worker.
A key to that question, I think, is also like, what do you do to procrastinate? Because
I don't do shit.
I
avoid
myself. Like, dude, you give me something I don't want to do, and all of a sudden, everything that I haven't been doing sounds really enticing, and I can go and like knock out a bunch of shit. If there's something that I really need to be doing, I can all of a sudden zero in on every other fucking like chore, outstanding task. So then I can be productive, but just not at the thing that I'm supposed to be doing. Then I still like,
no, that's not thing, me. You know, I wish I was like that. I'm playing Fortnite.
The thing. Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
I do
like,
get on Zelda. You know what I mean?
The thing about me is nice. I am
the new
motherfucking
one?
Breath of the Wild.
Lazy. I'm lazy, dude. I'm lazy by trade.
I bet
I'm lazy
you're not.
By nature.
I say
however,
the same thing, but it's not that
being lazy has made me a hard worker because I want to work hard so I can get back to being lazy.
Right.
So it's like I work my ass off to do whatever needs to be done because
so be
I don't want my lazy time interrupted. When I'm in lazy mode, don't fuck with me. But to get to lazy mode, I will bust my ass. I will bust my ass
I feel
to get to lazy mode.
Yeah, that's a procrastinator's Bible right there. That's like John 3:16.
But there's a lot
right
of procrastinators
there.
Who just they don't like to work at all, let alone work hard. So it's like there's a difference between working and then working hard. I will work hard. Like at my job, I work hard.
I'm a hardworking motherfucker.
There's a beautiful zen to what you just laid out. Because basically it's like you're trying to knock out all of the distractions that are keeping you from just being able to zone.
Yes.
Right.
You're stopping me from my weed and video games. And so,
right.
Or writing my rhymes. That's why I be sending y'all shit all the time because I'm done doing what I need to do at my job. I got that under control. Now I can focus on writing rhymes.
See, my best verses come when I'm procrastinating.
When you're writing rhymes and sending them,
it's real shit.
Are you just sending the lyrics like on?
They're getting vocals.
Nice.
I send them vocals. Yeah, I send them the real shit. Yeah, okay. I record it on my phone. I do it on my phone and my iPad because I can't play the beat and record on the same time. But as soon as I'm done, I send it right to them.
What's keeping you, Lou Rip, from building a spot in your house from recording? You just need a closet. Other side. Over here.
I would say...
Yes, flip on the other side where you put your mouth.
Not...
There you go.
This is what I said to him.
Tilt it. A little bit away.
all checks, no Reebok, bro. Soul is pure like blowing nostrils. Living red, send Joey Votto. Play to win, even goes for Lotto's. 9 1/3, the town that I'm from. Deserve to be heard, 9 1 1. Puff fly with the rise of the sun. Design of the rhyme, the style that I run. Outrun is the
dude, he sends this shit all fucking day, dude.
Really?
Yeah, nice. So many of these. I can't even, I hadn't even listened to this one yet because I just been.
Is there, are you guys like in a text thread where that's going through?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, if you got thread. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good, man.
You send shit all day. Oh, well.
If you want to throw me that text thread, I'd love to listen to some Lou Riff fucking.
And then on top of that, you'll get some dope fucking shots of what him and Joker are drawing and doing. They just like script up shit. It's like, oh, yeah, this is just some shit I did during the lunch break.
I want to be a fly on the wall in that little chat group.
Bro, it's lit. It's a lit ass group, bro. I ain't gonna lie. It is lit. They be sending me some shit. I'm like, what the fuck, dog? This is crazy. How did you just fucking do this? Like, what? What are you talking about?
I mean, it's my job, man.
Shit crazy, bro.
My job is literally to just come up with
I got to come with the golden bars because that's all I got to offer. I ain't got no art to offer. They sending drawings and Picasso shit.
Dude, it's just visualization. Like I personally don't feel like there's much difference creatively from doing visual art to doing music to like even cooking or like anything that you're just sort of like routing your experience of life. You're just you're creating something from it. You know, you're filtering your experience and you're turning it into something. And dude, like it's just where does that gel? I'm always impressed by the musical savants that can fucking play the piano and sing and shit. Yeah. I wish I could sing. I'd sing like shit.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, like I'll accidentally be on key every once in a while, but like if I try too hard, then it's just it's bad, man.
See, I got the choir background. Everybody in my family sing.
This dude's mom, got a, this dude's
dad,
got
you guys are all Baptists, voice. Yeah.
Everybody got the vocals though. Everybody can sing in my family. Cousins, aunties, uncles, everybody got a voice.
Did you go to black church? You know, like.
Yeah.
Where they're doing it, having fun, a good time. And
there were
singing.
No white people there, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have never been.
It's crazy. It's live. That's what my whole.
Is that shit really fun? Is it like really? It is like how the movies portray it?
It is absolutely how it's portrayed. Really? And you will be there all motherfucking day.
I feel like I would go to. I feel like I'd go to church if it was like that.
Bro.
Like I go to Catholic church and like,
oh, dude, what just are you like, doing? Oh, that's the worst.
And I mean, you know, family I'm married into is Catholic. So
damn,
I respect it, whatever.
Sorry,
but the priest be like off key on purpose, like.
It's so funny. First time I went to a Catholic church, I was like, what the fuck? This is the worst shit I've ever seen. Nobody's getting lit.
Dude.
Like the dude, like you said, he was singing off key. It's so boring. I'm like, yo, this is like a funeral right here. What the fuck is happening?
I think your faith is like tested by like sitting through it. You know, like that's how you prove your faith. You know
I'm
what
like
I mean?
Ready to clap and get lit. I'm ready to like get live and nobody's I would live. Love everybody's that. Dead.
I have so much. I have so much more to learn and think about and be open to. I mean, I'm open to everything, but.
Those are called Baptist churches, by the way.
Yeah, I've always
next black person you go up to, don't say that you go to a black church. You go to a Baptist church.
Well, I went to Baptist church, but they were white Baptist churches.
I ain't seen a lot of them.
Are you kidding me?
No,
I've been to plenty of them.
Word.
Like I prefer a Baptist church, but it was white because it's like the way they preach, and I like their take on the Bible, I guess, more.
Have you been to a Pentecostal church?
Yeah.
That's next level live.
That shit freaked me out the first time I went. They're raising their hands
like
the up.
That's like a church's rave. If there's a rave for Christianity,
I don't know about that.
Are you kidding? That's like next
they're
level.
Weird. They're fucking weird. Well, let me tell you a weirder. God dang. I almost dropped it. There's some fucking weird ass people with their religions out there. I knew this girl that dated this guy. Was the Church of Jesus Christ, where music is a sin. Like they can't sing. They can't use no.
Like Footloose.
No. They can sing, but they can't use instruments. They think like instruments is a sin.
What?
It's wild shit.
Who came up with that shit?
I don't know, but they
Jesus
are.
Jesus ain't saying nothing like that.
They'll tell you otherwise. They'll break it down. They'll take this scripture and you know
everybody
finagle
know,
it. You know what I mean?
Everybody know Jesus played a flute.
What?
Everybody know Jesus played a flute.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, if this is called the Church of Jesus Christ and they banning music, flute is an instrument, right? Music.
Where are you getting?
I thought that was a euphemism.
No, it's not. It better not be a euphemism. I'm not standing for that here. I'm not one to like be gung-ho for Jesus or anything, but we're not making any kind of phallic jokes about our Lord and Savior on this show. You hear me?
I would never insinuate that about Jesus Christ.
What are you talking about, a flute?
I'm saying
Jesus didn't play any instruments.
When did you find out he was a carpenter? Did you know that about Jesus right away?
Doesn't everybody know that?
I didn't know that about Jesus when I was little, that he was a carpenter. That wasn't like one of the main points of Jesus Christ. It was that he was a savior and he was your gateway to God.
No, he was a carpenter. Man of the people.
I did not know he was a carpenter until I was an adult.
Okay.
I had no clue. So he might have had all these other... the motherfucker made wine. Shit, who knows what other gifts he had? How you know he ain't played a flute?
Because they didn't talk about it. They'd be like, Jesus plays a mean flute. And then tell you what, there's this one guy that was blind, and he went up to him and did a... And made him see again.
Was that part of the rationale of the church, is that like it's not in the Bible, so it's not part of...
Dude, I don't know. I just know this dude was weird, because their church, that to me was weird, is that they can't play instruments. They can do singing, but they can't do instruments.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Like don't, you can't bang on something, but you can make the sound with your mouth.
It's, yeah, I don't know. But anyways, I was getting to a point of,
you can't touch strings.
I've always thought, Jesus, it was like, oh, it'd be cool to go to a Black Baptist church and see all the fun singing and the live dance. It's, you know, just
level,
the,
bro.
But I never thought about what it would be like for one of them to go to one of those.
It sucks.
This Catholic boring ass 3-hour marathons of
it's like a golf tournament. It's like a golf tournament in the graveyard.
Peace be with you, and also with you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible.
You definitely feel like, as a Black person, you feel like you've come to your end. This is where it all stops.
That's got to be brutal.
Just saying that. And then also that experience is not race specific. Like, I feel the same way, dude.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't know.
Because Mexicans are into that.
But you know what's great, though, is when I was young and I would see, like, white people come to our church and just get crunk. Just get, like, they fit right in. It was not, they step in, they ain't missing a beat. They clap. It was beautiful, bro. It was so dope.
That'd be
tongues.
Me, man.
Yeah,
I'd be like, yeah, let's do it.
Luce would be the one on the mic, taking the mic from
the deacon. Well, it's that the old Blues Brothers.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was dope. That was a dope movie.
I love that movie.
Classic.
Yo, shout out to the Blues Brothers. You know what I mean?
Deuce and myself. That's the Blues Brothers. That's another group I'm in. Yeah. With Deuce, Blues Brothers.
How many groups are you in?
So many. Too many. I formed another group while we've been here.
I know, right? You're just a mercenary, a rap mercenary. Exactly. You guys want to take a quick break real quick?
Yeah, if you want to, sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm personally good. That joint set me just right.
It set me just right, I blazed up and it took me on a flight tonight. 8:33 p.m. on the clock. Me and Lucid, sitting here about the rock. Yeah. TikTok and it don't stop. Lucid Rip, this is hip hop. And your shit flops. Tell your bitch I'll be over tonight with a drink and a big cock.
Shit flops in the wind. Put the cock in the skin. wear a pussy like a moccasin. Tell the priest that I'm not gonna sin. Film that shit and then I'll watch it again.
Better wipe off the camera. I got something on film. Drip it down the camera lens.
Get it hotter than a kiln.
Husband better not be here. This shit's not for him. He see me fucking his wife reciting Rakim. I guess he didn't know the ledge. But tell him now I got the juice and his bitch is off the edge.
Hammer that shit like a sledge. Bend her over the hedge.
Bend her over the hedge. Got the head and neck action popping. She don't know what's next. Bitch thought she was flexible. The dick made her flex best. And who should I sex next? Probably your best friend.
Put it in the neck like Socrates.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
If only
yes.
we recorded that
Put
shit.
Put it in her neck like Socrates. Oh, she was fire. The breath of the fresh maker, baby. Oh, I started to fucking record. I should have recorded that shit. Fuck, man.
Never record the best shit, man. But it's like the best shit happens because you're not recording. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah, that's true. When you know the camera around, brothers start getting a little. They will get their best shit off.
Now, if we found out that Ryan was recording this whole time,
it is recording.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah, oh, shit. Dude.
Yo, we just dropped some session. Bars, dude.
Okay, nice. Dude, I'll put it in.
Dude, that shit would be hilarious. Yo, seriously, earmark that for your socials because there's some real shit. That wouldn't have happened if I had known that we were being recorded.
Nice. You know what I mean? I'll check it
and
out.
And the fucked up part is I didn't record it because I didn't want to fuck up the freestyle. So yeah. I was like, nope, I'll just let whatever happens.
Let's see if I got enough. This
is I want to hear more of your music.
I think Cass could actually they could measure the level of our friendship based on the amount of freestyles I leave on their voicemail.
Yeah.
I mean, because
don't say that, man. I wouldn't think we're friends at all. You haven't left me one.
Well, you got to feel like you have permission to do it. Like,
everybody's got permission.
Once you freestyle with somebody, I don't know. If you build music with somebody, then you don't have
man,
that.
If the 16 is sick enough, it don't matter who it is. Michelle True. Obama, you just drop it.
Oh my gosh. I'd like to bend her over.
Michelle.
Are you kidding me? All
right.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Let's
I'm not
go,
hating.
First lady.
No, she was beautiful.
Is.
Yeah,
she is gorgeous.
Is, yes.
She's old dime.
Sorry, I haven't seen her
God,
in a long
like
time.
I'd smack that ass so hard, grab them big juicy hips, and just
go get
pull
it.
Her hair a little bit. Wow. Look back at it. Look back at it. I've been thinking about it. Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know exactly what you want to do with Michelle Obama.
Dude, come on, Michelle.
You want Obama.
Michelle. Hit me up at NeanderTalkPod on Instagram. Slide in these sweet little DMs, and let me show you how a white boy from KC hits it from the back.
If you want something, you got to put it out into the universe.
You got
you know
to.
I mean? You got to.
I'm manifesting it.
You got to make it happen. It's got to be spoken first.
Yes.
Yeah.
You heard it, Michelle. The ball's in your court now. What you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when the Neanderthal podcast goes for you?
What you going to do?
Oh, shit.
Crazy.
Oh, my God. My mouth hurts from smiling and laughing at that. We cut the mics back on just in time because I was about to tell you why humans are better than animals.
Did you say animals or animals?
Animals.
Like animals. Okay.
Animals.
Okay. Animals. Okay.
I don't know what I said. I was laughing and smiling. Why? You were like, we're no better than them, right? And I said, I think we are way better than animals. And I'll tell you why.
You just said animals again.
Thank you. I did that. Okay.
What am I saying?
Animals. You're not getting the A at the beginning. You're getting like an animal. You can animal. You're just getting right to the end.
Hey,
you're
know
so
what?
Anxious to get to the end.
You
can't forget the A, dude. It's a capital A on top of it.
My homies make fun of me because I say milk like milk. You know what I mean? They're like, what'd you say? Milk.
Milk.
Milk. Yeah.
Animals.
Milk.
Animals.
Animals.
You just want to get to that end so fast.
Yeah. Animals.
All right.
Just say mules. Mules. Mules.
All right. Hold on, let me get a little. Let me take a little sip of those whiskey. Let me refresh his palate real quick and say it the correct way.
Unfortunately, Manimals. Now it's probably gonna be like Super Troopers, where how many times can you say meow?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna be sitting there counting every time you say animals.
Animals.
Why humans are better than animals?
Animals.
Animals. How's that? Is that better?
Beautiful.
Because we have conscious. We have a consciousness, and we do shit with it. These animals don't have a conscience.
How do you know that?
Because look how they treat each other. There's not one single animal.
Look at how we treat ourselves.
How yeah, like, for most part, we're good. What is that? What do you mean by that?
We look at ourselves. We're manipulating our environment with the way we perceive ourselves.
I know we're really impressed with ourselves. Yes,
I think we are gifted with consciousness, which I think is extremely rare. I think we're able to have these deep conversations. And I don't think give me any other animal. Give me elephants. Give me dolphins. Give me whales. But, oh, yeah, they can make sounds, but they're not sitting one on one for hours chatting it up, talking about life.
But who's to say that their lack of that is to a detriment, that it's not beneficial? Or who's to say that they're not communicating in other ways?
But it's not, they're not on a higher level than we are. We're on the highest level of consciousness.
They don't give a fuck. They're not aspiring to be on a higher level of consciousness.
Because they're not conscious.
And who's to say that that's bad?
It's a gift.
I think they're aware.
It's a gift.
Though.
It's rare. I think this is rare. They're aware. Is a gift.
Well, you're conscious.
So like, where do you separate awareness and consciousness?
I don't know.
Because
that's an interesting
question. Say like animals are aware, but also like AI is aware. Because, you know what I mean? Like, I think that we're dabbling on two fronts with this quintessential question of like, what really separates us from the rest? Because
opposable thumbs and a consciousness.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Turing test can kind of go both ways, because animals do all kinds of compelling things that are like, anytime someone tries to set the like,
but there's not an impressive
the line
species
between
out there.
Oh, well, animals are animals because they don't
they can't
do this.
Do shit.
Every,
they can't do shit.
Every
Lucid.
Time they find a species that does that, you know what I mean? So like, collectively,
we're going to outer space. We're going to the Titanic.
I mean, so can
some of us are blowing up on the way down.
But here's the thing.
Tardigrades go to outer space.
The only species that can judge us is us. You can't get the fucking animals' opinions. They might not be impressed with anything we're fucking doing.
Because they don't have opinions because they're not smart enough.
They're not smart. They're not human smart. They're smart.
Yeah.
If they're able to go get food, if they're able to communicate with each other, they're smart.
Hey, if a dolphin was so smart, then why could I put it on a sandwich if I wanted to?
Hey, so long and thanks
because
for all
the you're stronger, because you have access to weapons that can kill the motherfucker.
We are the weakest animals out there. If we were to just be thrown out into the wild, how
Listen,
long do you think you
would
last in the jungle?
I don't care what you say. If you went to SeaWorld and saw a dolphin with a gat, you'd be running, motherfucker.
Wait, which
but he's not smart enough to make a gat. We are.
Exactly.
But
that's the difference.
That is the difference, Lou. That is the difference. We're the ones that came up with it, because we are so.
You can
weak.
Pick up a gun and shoot him and make him into food,
but it started from
that. Doesn't make him any less smart than you.
But here's where it started from. I didn't all of a sudden come out of human beings and just start making AK-47s. They were like, we keep getting eaten. What can we do? Let's develop a motion in our arm where we can throw a rock. And so we develop this motion in our arm where we can throw overhand. And then we're throwing spears and rocks.
Yeah.
And that's also making our minds become more in tune with the world. And we have to fight this.
Your
you know,
mind.
We're evolving. And
Which
then eventually.
Should not be confused with conscious. So our conscious has evolved us to turn to fucking murder machines.
We evolved to consciousness.
Hey, we put our hands on rocks.
Dude.
We began to walk, and then we listened.
How
to
conscious
Neander
is somebody who's pulling up to a picnic and
dropping
spraying
gems,
people,
son.
Kids, and people? Where's the consciousness in that?
Well, that's just a bad apple. But what about all the great things that are happening? All the wonderful art, all the philanthropy, all the accomplishments that science made, all the compassion out
so
there.
So I see both sides. This is an artist.
A bad apple does not excuse you for. He has a conscience. Is what I'm saying.
But there's a spectrum of consciousness. There's mental illness that goes with this consciousness. That's just part of the deal that goes with it.
There's also emotion. And people feel anger, and anger can cause you to do things in the spur of a moment that can go against your conscience.
Love can do that too.
Love is completely unconscious. There's no conscious in love. Love is a completely unconscious act.
I feel like everyone could agree that
you don't control who you fall in love with.
To our emotions is the point at which we're starting to act somewhat animalistic. Like, the thing that separates us supposedly is our ability to step outside of our emotions and handle things in a logistical manner, and to separate ourselves from primal instincts, right? Because emotions are very primal. Like, if you're primal, then you also want to suppress your emotions because you don't want to
communicate to your predator or rival what you're feeling or what your vulnerabilities are. But at the same time, those feelings are what guide all your actions. So our separateness or whatever from nature is largely in our ability to remove ourselves from our emotions.
Why do I feel
emotions.
Like I'm arguing humanity with you guys?
Well, you're Neanderthal. Like that's the whole
point.
Like,
this is what Neanderthal. Hello.
But I'm like pro people, and you guys are like pro non people. You're like, I don't want consciousness.
I don't think that being pro people is like saying we're the best. I think it's acknowledging
we are the best.
Man.
We are the
best.
But
again, the only people that can judge us is us. Animals can't judge us.
I mean, did the birds think we're the best? Did the moles think we're
the
best?
I'm pretty sure if a hippopotamus could judge another hippopotamus, they'd be like, yo, we're the fucking tops of this motherfucker.
They would hippopotamus.
Fuck a human being. What? I don't give a fuck what they built. Fuck them.
They know they're not, though.
Birds can fly. Birds are like, what the fuck are those people doing down there?
Birds are very dumb. The smartest birds are crow, and they're not that smart.
I don't know. Maybe they just don't need that big of brains. You know what I mean? Like,
here's the thing: if they're dumb, what would be bird smart? What would be considered smart for a bird?
If they can use a tool.
They don't have the tools. They don't have the opposing.
They
things
do
to use the tools.
They use tools.
They use tools, but it's very limited.
So then that contradicts what you just said.
I'm telling you, that's as smart as they can get. They can barely use a tool.
Because they can barely use a stick.
They can barely use a stick. They're not out there like loving on their kids. They're shitting out
a couple of birds.
If
you had claws for hands, could you barely use a stick?
Right, but you know what? I evolved to be having these hands with opposable thumbs, Lou Rip.
The beauty of nature
is that.
Are you taking credit for this?
Yeah. I am. My ancestors are. This DNA that's in all of us got us here. We are standing on the shoulders of giants. These birds are just dumb bird brain fucks that couldn't figure it out. We're building big ass buildings.
Who's to say they haven't figured it out and figured what out? Who's to say they haven't figured it out? Who's to say that they are not in their complete heaven and bliss right now, floating around, looking at you dumb motherfuckers, deal with your emotion and your consciousness?
Hubris ain't nothing but a downfall. You know what I mean?
Hold on. You don't hunt, do you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Why would I be? No.
All right. I'm only saying
I see you try to catch me on the slip there. If I was sitting around, I don't hunt.
I assumed you didn't.
No, I don't hunt. And I'm the guy that I have evolved to the point where if I see even a bug or a roach in my house, I will pick him up and escort him out like a gentleman.
Let me tell you this.
I don't even kill the bug
anymore. I am a hunter.
Okay.
And I see what actually goes on out in nature.
Until you kill it.
Let me tell you something. A deer wishes it got killed by me because that's the best death it's ever going to have. Because you know what happens to a deer out there? It's either going to starve to death because it has no more teeth left because it's been chewing its whole life. Or it's getting eaten alive by coyotes.
What is this?
Asshole first. That's nature. Nature is a brutal bitch. Like, there's no fun death out in nature. Here's what I want you to get on your phone right now. Go to Instagram and follow the account Nature is Metal.
I already follow that one.
What you just described is a weekend in Chicago.
But that's not the human experience overall. The overall experience out in wild is you're getting eaten to death. You're having the worst death
ever.
Dude,
the vast majority of
constant anxiety
human existence
from
is misery.
I think the human experience overall is wildly subjective, depending on where you live.
But I think
for Chicago, for instance.
Kind of, but I think you're going to find a lot of people in Chicago that have a lot of love.
Yeah, we all got love. Everybody has love.
That's a
wonderful
thing.
Even the killer
thing.
Has love.
Some of them, I'm sure, have some love. But
that's what I'm saying.
There's this thing,
like I said, called emotion. Emotion can override consciousness and better judgment. You can be angry at somebody for whatever reason. It can be the dumbest reason.
Yeah.
But emotion takes over. It can make you do irrational things.
It can. If you're not emotionally equipped.
Stable. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Or aware. That this is happening.
Right. But overall, of the billions of people, I think most people are having a really good human experience.
I agree.
So that's kind
of
cool.
I would say the same with animals, though.
No, none of them. No animals. They have it for maybe fleeting moments.
What data do you have to support this? Like, where are you getting this from? Like, animals.
Real life.
Yeah,
real life. Just, how do you think?
You think a bird isn't having a great experience in life? He's floating and flying, going where the fuck he wants to go.
So I think
a bird eat.
If a person lives in the If a person lives in the United States of America, I think they have a dramatically different experience than everybody else in the world. To be in the top 1% of the global economy, you only need to make $30,000 a year. That means that almost everyone that we know is in the top 1% of the human experience of what is happening right now on the planet. Now, I do think that a lot of those people find like beauty, love, and peace in their tranquil and not resource demanding like lives, just living their lives. But inherently there's these predatory forces that, you know, like reach in and exploit them. Like, slavery is at an all-time high in the human experience. This shit is fucking rampant in huge swaths of humanity, and we are privileged to not have to experience that, not have to live in the turmoil that most of humanity does. So I think for us to disregard that when we're living in this society that, like, the poorest people are still incredibly privileged, which, I mean, like, take flack for that, I'm sure. Yeah, like, there is hardship here. It's just
unfortunately, and yes, you're right, but unfortunately, each person, I hate to say it, is living in their own turmoil.
Yeah, so your frame of reference is only as big as your life experience, right? So, like, the biggest traumas, and I think that this extends to nature. Like, if in nature you don't know Saturday morning cartoons, then it might not be so traumatic when you get fucking mauled by a lion. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have these attachments to
I've seen
all,
the eyeballs
all the shit,
on these gazelles that are running from a lion.
They don't want to experience it. Like, but I mean, for a whole life experience, like, you live five years and you spend like an hour getting your skin ripped off. Like,
first of all, it's
not fun, but the trade-off, there's still moments to enjoy, like, the beauty of this world. You know what I mean?
Animals are not enjoying shit. Like I said, the Lou Rip.
You've seen,
I said, have
like,
you seen,
young
have,
animals, like, playing, like, videos of, like, they're enjoying
watch
it, man.
An animal eat.
Science.
Watch, what, you want to talk about lions and tigers.
Scientists
watch.
Can study this stuff. They study they the neurology of these animals, and they do have, they have pleasure. They have anxiety. They have, like, a different,
you
but
guys are
still
insane.
Like, valid
you guys are
experience.
Insane. You guys are
it's
insane.
Not. I don't think that it's just us and everything else. I think that we're a part of
it.
It
is us and everyone else.
How could an animal with no conscience?
Get on the mic. Get on the mic. Get on the mic.
How could an animal with no conscience know how to instinctively run from something when it's in danger?
Like, why would it care?
How would it even fucking care?
Instincts.
You have to have a conscience to have instincts.
No, they have the lowest level of consciousness. It's survival.
Where are the instincts
survival
coming
instinct.
From?
It's Darwinism. It's survival of the fittest. I have to get away so I can keep surviving. It's just survival is just instinctual for everything. Everything wants to survive.
Our ego is fear-driven. Our ego is an instinct. Like, ego is a fear instinct of predatory behavior. Like, that's a prey response to identify yourself as being individually in danger.
Well, we are prey.
Is the birth of the ego, right?
We are prey. Look at, yeah, of course we're
all
prey.
All we're doing is getting like real deep in our feelings about it, and then we're like,
but we're
prey. Really,
but we're prey, and we're prey top, to, and we're top of the food line. We're top of the food chain.
Well,
we're
we
prey, and
are
we're
we
top
prey,
of the
are
food
we
chain.
Prey to each other. Who are we prey to?
I mean,
prey to natural like, selection. Like if we were to be dropped off in the jungle, the desert, Antarctica. Without weapons, we're just soft little meat vehicles walking around waiting to get eaten. We have no defenses. We don't have teeth. We don't have nails or claws.
We
don't have.
We have the Matrix.
We
right?
can run fast
no,
and far.
No, absolutely. We have
okay,
sweat
but in
sweat
your
glands,
example,
right?
You also have to set us back about 300 years of technology. So if we have the technology and we go over there, it's a different ball game, isn't it?
But we had to develop that technology.
Okay, but we also had the smarts to develop that technology.
That's why we're number one.
Okay, but that's why we can go over there and deal with this natural selection in a way that is more fitting for us to survive because we have the technology to do it.
But
we're not Fred Flintstone walking over there. We're Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger walking over there.
Not anymore, but now we are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It took us forever to get here. And that's why we're number one. It took us to be these weak-ass little meat animals walking around with no defenses.
Here's the
to
thing.
Finally develop to where we're number one.
Can we sustain it?
Can you understand how amazing that is for the Homo sapiens?
We hacked the matrix. Yeah.
Where we are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You don't understand. I'm not arguing that we're not a number one. I'm arguing that animals are not as dumb as you think. That's what I'm arguing. They're not as
Animals are pretty dumb.
You have the ability to pull up and take a gun and shoot one in the face.
I don't need to shoot in the face. I can animals are dumb.
Why?
I think a lot of humans are dumb.
Why?
Because they don't live that long and they don't figure shit out.
I think some humans figure it out. Some
I can
humans
put them
special.
On a sandwich.
Most people are dumb.
I can put every.
We the dumb motherfuckers that got to get up and go to work every way to earn a dollar while they do whatever the fuck they want to do. What have they not figured out? What
not
have,
for long. They're not doing whatever they want. They're surviving.
They ain't going to work.
You don't think what they're doing is work? Like I said, like you
our
guys laughed. Hold on.
The most
like,
depressive.
You were laughing at
our
me
worst
when I said
are the most abhorrent.
Watch a bird eat. Watch it. They're like this.
What does that mean? Okay.
Because they're constantly looking at what's going
to
eat me. What's going
to
eat me?
Chickens do look super. Like
a
gazelle. They look dumb.
So he's dumb because he looks dumb eating. Come on,
no,
man.
Because he's constantly, he's anxious the entire, he's waiting for something to eat him. He's constantly on the lookout.
How about
he's constantly looking.
He's like a nigga in the hood looking around like, yo, who the fuck is here? Who's around this motherfucker? He's a smart motherfucker.
Let's step away from the low-hanging fruit and just talk about like
that's
elephants.
A chicken who got beef.
But a gazelle is like that too. A gazelle goes to the water hole. Oh, they step up to it. They're looking around. Animals are anxious. Prey animals are constantly anxious, looking around. Who's going to eat me next?
Anxious don't make you stupid. It makes you aware.
It makes you, that's all you focus on. So you can't focus on anything else.
That doesn't make you stupid.
They don't have any love.
Dude,
wasps,
bees,
you know what that is?
Hive animals, man.
An idiot savant. An idiot savant is a person who focuses on one fucking thing, but they're good at that one fucking thing.
You know who rules this earth? Fucking ants, dog. Like, there are so many more ants than people. You know what I mean? Like,
I do like ants. I do like ants.
Bodybuilders of the earth.
I looked it up. There's like quadrillions of ants.
There is.
Literally.
Those are the true gangs of the earth.
I'll drop some ant knowledge on you. There is as much body mass of ants as there are human beings.
I would
believe
that.
Yeah.
It would make sense.
And here's where I guess I'll be on. I'll throw a bone to you guys real quick. If all of humans were to go extinct, Earth would be completely fine. It would keep going, thriving.
Yeah.
If you took all the ants and made them disappear, the Earth wouldn't survive. They're like our garbage.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
They do the dirty work. They do the dirty work, dude.
All right. So I'll take it all back. Ants are number one. We're number two.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You can't fuck with the ants, man. Shout out this.
We got
the ants.
My daughter's a wild little freak. I dared her to eat an ant. She's like, should I eat this? I was like, yeah, go ahead. She just ate it. She goes, oh, it tastes like nothing.
Nice.
And like she brought, like she doesn't even like, and she's eaten a couple just on her own, just like, watch this.
Protein.
And she's like, she's 6 years old. She's just doing this shit. And I'm like, I'll ask her, like, you eat ants, right? She's like, no, not anymore. I go, what do they taste like? They don't taste like anything. They're easy to eat.
I would expect them to be like a slight crunch.
If my girl saw an ant, they would be jumping up the highest tree there is. I'm telling you.
Yeah, my
girl. They hate bugs. Hate them.
Yeah, she's.
My oldest, 14 years old, she hates butterflies.
What?
I'm like, how you hate butterflies?
Oh, you might need to go see
a
doctor with that one.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, my daughter can't.
So
stop
fragile,
chasing.
Like you sneeze on a butterfly, it'll die. You know
and
what I mean?
She's so
like,
funny because she's fragile. She's like a butterfly. She's very delicate. She's soft. She's kind and tender. But she's like she. I just think it's bugs. She
yeah,
just
but
has
you'd rather
like
have a cow, wouldn't you?
Yeah, right. She wants a dog.
No, I'm saying you'd rather have a cow than her since you don't like people. You want pro animal.
No, I'm not pro animal. I'm just
nobody,
saying
nobody
dissed they're not
people,
dumb,
man.
Dude.
Yeah,
people crack the matrix of nature. Like we are an impressive species. I just think that our hubris is also our downfall. And if
I don't
we
think
can
so.
Survive the next 100
okay.
years, then I'm fucking impressed.
Okay, let me just all right. Now I just thought of this. Here's why again we are better with our consciousness. Because I think consciousness is a rare. I think it's very rare. I don't think animals have consciousness.
I think the world is conscious,
and so I think it's rare, and I think it's important.
Plants are conscious.
And I think we're the only ones that are trying to expand consciousness throughout the galaxy. We're trying to get it out there to other planets.
I think we feel special because I think that plants are using us for their agendas. I mean, if you look at agriculture, like we respond to the whims of the plants to cultivate them and nurture ourselves. With digital media, like I see that as a separate thing. Like I feel like digital anything is sort of like an alien species that is growing through us because we don't utilize it to our best advantages. You know what I mean? Like it really utilizes us. It accesses the most like base parts of our mentality and coerces us to behavior that we
plants do.
We agree. Oh, I'm saying digital.
I would say like, technology. Technology might be the ultimate. Technology yeah. might be above humans. That might be the real
plants
thing.
Plants help create oxygen. Yeah,
like
plants help create oxygen. So yeah. It's like, how can we say something that helps create oxygen?
Yeah,
is not smart. It I'm helps us smart. Breathe and live and be here. How does that not consciousness?
So I learned this from the internet, caveat. But what I heard recently, they discovered that plants have within the like their cellular fiber makeup, they have the same ocular sensory like, I don't know, synapses or whatever the fuck, like within the fiber. So like plants actually see their environment and they can discern even like the color of what somebody is wearing, the shape of people. Like
I know they can communicate.
So it's like their whole skin is like an eyeball. You know what I mean? Like they see the
so the difference in all of these things is language, how it's being communicated.
Yeah.
We can't communicate with plants in human form. Plants can't communicate with us in plant form. We don't understand each other. But that doesn't mean there's no divine intelligence there. It's just like what I said about my album. I believe that every human being comes into this world with a certain form of intelligence. But that intelligence is stripped once you learn things on this side.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with a plant. We don't understand plants because we don't speak that. We don't understand that. The same thing with a computer. We don't understand everything with a computer. But a computer has to be coded in a way where it understands human language and what we're saying. But a computer in raw form does not understand humans. And we don't understand computers.
Well, a computer doesn't understand anything because it doesn't have consciousness. It's just a program.
But it can be made to have consciousness.
Maybe.
Oh no, we're there, sir. We're there. 2020. Maybe. No, there's no maybe. It's already here.
I don't know.
Do some research.
I have, and they were saying that wasn't really a consciousness. That was just a program talking to each other.
Dude, honestly, the way that they describe the behavior is not too dissimilar from like the behavior of AI is not too dissimilar from low level human interaction. Like people,
right? But isn't that just a computer programming just skimming through everything on the internet real quick?
Dude, just chart the trajectory of where it started and where it is now, and you can see that it's going somewhere that is going to
I know it could be a real issue.
It's
going to be.
Oh, I know
it's going to be.
Well, we're number one, but I don't know that we're going to be number one forever.
There will be no competition soon because there'll be nothing but robots.
But I don't know if they're going to have consciousness.
It won't matter because we won't be alive to judge.
So picture this.
But
What if technology?
No. I think we're that smart that I think we will be.
You guys followed me to the technology is growing through us and is something separate from us that is like utilizing our emotions to imagine itself into being, and is AI not just the next fucking step of that?
Yeah.
Right? Fucking see that picture.
Well, there's a quote, we are the cocoons of technology or something like that. Like human beings.
That's beautiful.
I don't know.
Did you just make that
up? No, I didn't make it up. It's somebody else made that up, but it's beautiful. We're beautiful. Human beings are just in this cocoon. We don't know that we're just this caterpillar that's turning into a cocoon. We don't know why it's going to turn into a butterfly, and consciousness is using us to do that. or not consciousness, but technology is using us to turn into.
I mean,
well, you know, what's driving technology?
Or we're the husk that gets discarded.
What's driving technology?
Technology.
No, what's the driving force behind technology? Why do people create technology?
To make our lives easier, to make money.
Right.
To make a name. There's all kinds of reasons.
Ego.
Ego might be part of it, but not with everything. Ego. I mean, was fire, ego was fire invented for ego? Or
dude,
was
one thing that we can all agree, like, ego has been time immemorial usurped by other forces for their own agenda, right?
Yeah, ego is a real problem.
Yeah, it's a major problem. It's always been usurped by unchecked some sort of agenda.
Unchecked ego. Ego out of control is a problem. I don't think ego in general is a problem. Yeah, so, I think it's healthy to have a good ego.
It's healthy to a certain degree.
Yeah, but yeah, unchecked.
We all have it, but yeah.
Unchecked ego, yeah, is.
But ego is what drove Windows 95 to make Windows 96 and Windows XP.
Windows 98. Start it up.
That's what why there's 15 versions of the iPhone. Ego. Because we want to be better and do better than we did last time. We would have been fine if they didn't go past, if this went stopped at 4, everybody would have been just fine.
Well, why do we go there? Why don't we just have it on our cord?
Ego.
Yeah.
Ego.
Right.
Yeah.
If you stopped at iPhone 4, the world wouldn't have stopped. We would have been okay with just iPhone 4. We didn't have to keep going. Ego made them keep going.
Yeah. Power.
Because I can make
power,
better.
Control, money, all of that.
Ego.
Pussy.
Yeah, and ego's tethered. Ego's tethered to motivations like greed, which is like planned obsolescence and shit. Yeah. Yep. Ego. Like all that.
It's all power, money, and pussy. That's what it all boils down to.
So I think that's why a lot of spiritualities are about like escaping the ego, just like releasing ourselves from that tether so that we can act and observe responsibly as heightened individuals. Yeah. You know?
Real cool. Shit.
Well, I'm still on team people.
I'm not against team people. I'm just saying I'm not anti-animal either. I recognize their importance.
Recognize their importance, but they're, you know.
Well, if we recognize their importance, it doesn't matter if they're dumb or not. They can be as stupid as they want.
I love dumb animals. So they're delicious.
I know a lot of dumb people probably that animals could probably give a run for if given the chance.
Within nature, there's a hierarchy. Absolutely. Like, I think we all agree. Within nature, there's a hierarchy, right? But within that hierarchy, like if we just observe ourselves as standing outside of that hierarchy versus just as something within it, I think that that's the important thing, because our scientists, as smart as they are still trying to decipher nature. Like, and to me, that's the best.
I don't trust
that's
our
the best
anymore.
Evidence of a higher being, that there's something like God. My whole belief
COVID
in God
brought that out
stems around the fact that like the smartest humans that exist are still trying to understand the interlocking. And this is on like physics, this is on mathematics, like every level are trying to understand this intelligence that is invigorating, this intelligence that draws us in, and we feel compelled to understand it and to dissect it. And I think that in any of those fields, they can, like, people can agree whether they're whatever religion or spirituality or agnostic or
atheist
or whatever. I'll take a little pour. I think that everyone can agree that there is something that draws us in that is vastly superior to us. And that's why we have space to learn. That's why we have something to grow, to try and understand and comprehend. And what our whole aspirations are, like my whole life as an artist has like been a drive to understand this environment and world around me, to get to know people better, to get to know the environment better, to like study trees with a pencil and to study water with paint and to study emotions with words and just try and like understand it so I connect with people on a greater level. But when the best stuff comes, when I do my best paintings, when I have my best rhymes, I'm not even there, dog. Like that shit just goes through me. Mm-hmm. And the more I can remove myself from the process,
the better it is. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Go listen to your next Dolphin album.
And I tell people kind of similar to what you just said, when I made Joe Average, I felt that way the whole album. I felt like this ain't even me writing this shit. Like, I don't even know where this is coming from, the but muse. It is not me. And coincidentally, this is when I first, like, started smoking weed. So it was like, the words were just coming. Like, I didn't have to think about it. It was just like, they were just there. I wrote that whole album in a week. And was just like, it was nothing. It was nothing. Out. Yeah, I was writing two songs a night, and then I go to Royce's house the next day because I wasn't working. I go to Royce's house the next day.
Royce the 5'9"?
No, Royce Diamond. Shout out Royce Diamond. And just knock him out. And I did that every day for a week, and the album was done. And we recorded probably about 50 songs that summer, dude. We went in. That was the driving force behind him opening the studio down in KC Mo. The work we was doing at his house, like, we was doing so much shit, he was like, bro, we gotta think bigger, we gotta build bigger. And that's why he eventually got that studio. But yeah,
all right, you guys came on to talk about, well, I mean, you guys came on because
well,
we're all friends and
because
stuff.
We love we love being here, you know, homie.
We only need like an excuse. So we do have a show August 4th at the Record Bar with headlining.
I heard the sound isn't that great over there.
That didn't come from us.
I didn't say it did. I heard through the grapevine that they need to work on their sound. I go there. I listen to. I've been to. Last thing I went there was Open Gems. I've been to plenty of shows there.
As an artist who's performed there a few times,
but I love the Record Bar. It's a great, venue. It's a great venue.
Shout out the Record Bar.
I fucking love it, man. And Steady P, who hooks this shit up for us.
Shout out Steady.
Old school, like, homie, such a fucking good person.
Yes,
really delighted to be on like this bill because it's UB Obsessed Crew is headlining.
Can I introduce
Steady P
you guys?
And DJ Moff.
Can I come up and like?
Yeah. Oh, dude, that'd be fucking awesome because usually we just come on stage and we just start rapping.
Yeah, that'd be dope. Yeah, do that, bro. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Do it.
So okay. Also Seuss, and then it's Mox the Lasers, which is the dope homies like Vertigon and Drew.
Ben Stiller, Vertigon.
Ben Swiller.
Ben Swiller.
Yeah, and DJ Scheme. Fucking, Dream Team.
Call his ass
Ben Stiller. 18 and over event. August 4th, Record Bar. That shit's going to be fucking
It's going to be a lit ass show.
August 4th, Record Bar. We're opening. Like, we're low on the totem, which I'm fine with. I like the early slots because I don't drink before I perform because I don't, you know, I want to be on point. I want to be razor sharp. But then, like, afterwards, you can just, like, really settle in. And with a bill like this, to be able to fucking kick back, dude, drink some Tank Sevens and, like, watch this fucking lineup is going to be killer.
That's cool. And also, the earlier acts at a lot of these shows tend to have the biggest crowds because it tends to be a lot of the artists are there.
It does often work out that way. Yeah, yeah.
Like all the artists that are on the bill show up early and they're there. Nope. And then when they and then when they perform, they kind of leave.
With this
one, a lot of times the crowds can get smaller.
That's often the deal. I don't think that'll be the deal in this case, but I've totally experienced that. And yeah, love the earlier slots. Like really like a mid-show slot is perfect where like some cats have gone on. They've already kind of like warmed up the crowd. You probably you know, like don't have too tough of acts to follow and you can kind of like just raise the bar, like raise the temperature of the whole thing, like set a standard. And for me, like the motivation of going on mid show and being like, all right, let's like set the bar for the next act to fucking top or whatever.
Which they ain't going to do.
I mean, with
wherever
this,
the fuck
with
it is.
This lineup. I mean, I'm being realistic.
I mean, yeah, these are the homies, man. I ain't talking about that. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
in
general, of course. Yes.
Rip a motherfucking soul in half. I'd take your soul out your body and piss on it.
What night is this on?
August 4th. This is a Friday night, I think.
Friday, August 4th. Yeah. No. Oh, okay.
Is it?
Okay.
I got that right?
You already know.
I'll try to.
Boom. I'm going to be a volcano in that motherfucker. I'm going to erupt.
Blow like Vesuvius.
I'm going to erupt.
I can get some child
care. I'm a bubble over. I'm a bubble over.
Loose flows of Lewis Rip coming through the spit. Some super sick computer chip type futuristic rhymes is on. But two of the sickest lunatics slash genius MCs. We bust like Ruger clips. Cruise to bits to sweep the dust. We don't need for much. See, we just want some boost to sip. Sweet weed to puff and shrooms to trip. Am I losing grip or let it go? Every episode is about to blow like Vesuvius. Who is this? Yo, we got booze to sip, and the two of us want to thank you for having the two of us on the show. You know what I mean?
Damn, it's
dope. Did you get that?
That's crazy. That's fucking crazy.
That was crazy. Yeah, just live, just hit it like that.
That's crazy.
Knocked it out the park.
You guys, thanks for coming and doing the podcast again.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having us.
Hopefully we get some Record Bar people out there.
August 4th.
August 4th.
Yeah, get your ass Friday. Get out there.
Get your ass in there. Maybe catch me up there introducing these guys.
Oh, and give us a this shit lit. Give us a follow. The Mokes. Mokes Hip-Hop.
M-O-K-S.
Yeah.
Mokes
Hip-Hop. Mokes Hip-Hop. That's on Instagram. Make sure you get at us. Don't fuck around. At Lucid Flows. Stop fucking with yourself. Follow him on Instagram. At Lewis Rip. Stop bullshitting. Yeah. Fucking with yourselves.
Yeah.
Follow him.
Yeah.
At Neanderthal Talk. Stop fucking with yourself. Follow him right now.
Okay. Follow him.
I'm backing up. I'm backing up because I recognize I'm getting loud.
It's all right.
See?
This dude hasn't had his headphones on for like an hour.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I thought he did that on purpose. I saw it a while ago. I was like, maybe he just doesn't like them.
No, I forgot, dude. I was like,
yeah.
I didn't say nothing.
Me neither. He didn't like them.
I was like, I can hear them, so everything's good.
Yeah, everything's good. Guys, this was fun. Yeah, I love you guys. Thanks, you guys are some of my favorite people.
Hey, love you too, brother. Appreciate you.
Let's get the hell out of here. Bye. Leave me the fuck alone. Neanderthal, hardest podcast in the world, you stupid ass bitch.